Welcome to the Christchurch Winchester podcast. For all other talks or to subscribe, please visit ccwinch.org.uk/listen.
Our reading this morning is taken from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, reading from verses 31 to 46. If you have the church Bibles, it's on page 995. Jesus is speaking. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name is Pixie, if I haven't met you before, and I'm one of the lay preachers here at Christchurch. Happy Mothering Sunday. I'll leave you to research on Google or something about the difference between Mothering Sunday and Mother's Day and the history of those two dates. But anyway, happy day, and what a beautiful day for us. Happy day not least because you obviously put your clocks forward and made it. Should we all have a little smirk for those who arrive an hour late? For a great passage as well to read, that was a lovely litany, wasn't it? Another passage that's really beautiful to read from thinking about mothers is Luke 2, 25 to 52. So you can go home and do that in your quiet time this week. Luke 2, 25 to 52. Anyway, I am so grateful. I'm really, really thankful that for whatever reason, God decided to give me kids and grandkids. And I'm really, really grateful for that. I'm so glad that he's showed his mercy and his compassion on me in that respect. But I'm thankful for so many other things. And this morning, I'm thankful for the daffodils. I'm thankful for the sunshine. I'm thankful for friends, and I'm thankful for this congregation. What are you thankful for this morning? What comes out of your thankful heart? Have a think for a minute. Right now, can you just spend a couple minutes sharing with the people near you what you're thankful for right now? Go on then. Okay, lots to give thanks for. You could carry those conversations on over lunch. Thank you. And as I said, I'm really, really thankful that I happen to have been given the gift of children and grandchildren. They're such a continual source of joy and sermon illustrations. Mothers, and I think particularly more grandmothers and grandparents, who are usually more patient and laid back than the first time around. We know how we like to do things with our children, you know, kind of come alongside us and do cooking or do gardening or making a model railway or knitting or something. It takes enormous patience and grace and suppressing giggles at appropriate times. A couple of years ago, I was baking Christmas cakes, and I was making quite a few because I'd promised people I would, and our eldest grandchild was with me, and she'd done quite a bit of cooking with her mum, so I knew she could be trusted. And you know, you get that stool or the thing that they're standing on so that they don't flip and throw the goods all over the kitchen. And I gave her this big bowl of, I think it was, you know, 8 eggs or something, and I handed her this little wire whisk thing and said, could she beat those for me? She was kind of shalloping them about, and I said, it might help, sweetheart, if you just poke each of the yolks beforehand, it will mix better. She just looked at me completely deadpan. We use a fork. We use a fork. I thought, I taught your mother how to cook. I didn't say that, though. I was very gracious, and I gave her a fork. I said, oh, thank you, sweetheart. But that is such a great illustration of how God is with us, because he could do everything that we ask of him, everything he has planned, far more efficiently, far faster, and with far more mercy and grace than leaving some of it to us to do alongside him. He is so patient teaching us how to be the way he wants us to be. He's so risky letting the church be his body on earth. Oh my gosh. Don't you wonder sometimes, did he make a mistake? And, you know, I would have been able to make that cake so much more easily if I hadn't had Gracie helping me. But that's what we do. And that's what God does. He models for us right from the beginning. And God was like that, mothering, teaching, showing, modeling, right from the start. He let them have the garden. They messed that up. He gave his laws through Moses. And he showed his people. And he included merciful arrangements for widows and orphans. He modeled hospitality. He covered for mistake makers and slow learners. He showed them how to do hospitality unendingly. And he showed grace upon grace, like a grandparent would, with their continual backsliding and rejection of his ways. So then he sends his son, his only son. Maybe he thought we would get it then. And Jesus came and modeled right from the beginning all kinds of things that we can watch. He did it with his disciples. He's doing it for us through his word now. He shows us how to help good friends avoid embarrassment and humiliation and have a good time at a wedding. He showed how to look out for people that weren't the in crowd, to feed people without checking their credit rating first, to feed even more people because he knew that people listened better if they'd been fed. He showed how to touch people who others avoided. He showed us how to set people free from lives of poverty and hopelessness that were due to illness and disability. He showed how to set people free from spiritual binding and oppression. He modeled how to set people free from destructive relationships, mostly women. He showed how to set people free from socially ostracizing illnesses. And Jesus modeled with his disciples, for all of us to read, how to empower others to get on with doing that as well. Come alongside them, empowering them. And he showed that God's power transcends race, social standing, ethnicity, or gender. And then, as he walked those nearly 3 years with his disciples, he comes to this teaching at the end of Matthew. And remember, it's his words. We didn't make these up. Our passage in Matthew 25 comes at the culmination of his showing, modeling, teaching. And he said, look, here I am. Watch me and do as I do. God is coming. Then he died on the cross to cancel our sin and the sin's hold on the world. He rose from the dead to show the world who he is and that he has power over death itself. He sent his Holy Spirit to empower us to follow and live as he did. And he said, when I come back, this is what it's going to look like. Boom. Am I probably not alone in thinking that the passage we read in Matthew 25 is one of my least favorite in the whole of Scripture? Or it certainly makes us squirm. It's not one of those comforting, oh, let's have a nice Mother's Day reading. But you can't skip this bit of the story. You can't miss it. You can't rearrange it nicely so it doesn't include this. My dear friend Janie, who lives in Wales, when I talked to her about getting some fabric for sewing, she'd say, oh, sorry, I missed the day when we did rulers. She said she couldn't do numbers because she'd missed that day. Well, when the sheep and the goats are before the king, it's not going to help if we said, well, we cut out that passage. We just didn't really want to stick with it. We can't pretend that Jesus didn't teach us that actions went with words, went with deeds, went with hearts. And we thought we were just going to be able to sing lots of really nice songs or get our doctrine really tidied up and cross every T and dot every I. That's what we thought we were supposed to do, right? Oops. And yet we know, all of you know, if you have been around for a little while, that we're not driven to do these things Jesus laid out to earn God's love. We're not doing it because we say, oh, must I? But because by God's grace, we can say, may I? One thing we can all celebrate today, however you feel about Mothering Sunday, is that God knit us together in our mother's womb. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I'm going to become like an American speaker now. I'm going to make you all repeat that with me, okay? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Should we say it together? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Didn't make any mistakes. But from that point on, each of us and the whole of the human race tended to kind of go towards themselves. And it's not like we all started out being really nasty, horrible little children. But it's just that our propensity, our sat nav, as it were, on life, is for us to be the center of the universe and us on the throne. And that's what trips us up. And this can go on forever, and obviously for lots of people it does. Except maybe for some of us, through beauty, through friends, the love shown to us, through preaching, through reading, through the Bible, through dreams, God calls us to himself. And we always have a choice in how we respond. When we get to that point where we see that we are not actually worthy to be sitting on that throne. It belongs to our Father God. We call out to him. And that's when we're born again. God's like our mother too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my mom. Thank you for the Lord who helped me to be born again. And then as a child is taught and shown how to live, hopefully with grace and patience, we grow and are spiritually formed. Good habits or bad, these things will help to make us who we are, our choices and the way that we live. The exercises that we set out in our spiritual formation or life groups are part of that kind of spiritual muscle exercising. I always think about ballet dancers. You know, it looks like if they can just go, but it's only because for years and years and years they've been doing this over and over and over again that it actually flows so beautifully. And that's a bit like the way when we're making choices in life, when we're setting ourselves exercises, as it were, to do. It's because we're trying to become more like Jesus. If you're not in a small group and you'd like to be, please let us know. And then we come to these last three stories, of which Matthew 25 is the part. So as we're being spiritually formed, we get to the bit where Matthew lays it out for us in this order, and Jesus is saying to us, be ready. Be grown up and be ready. Live ready. I'm sorry, but I actually really get a tickle from that fridge magnet you may have seen sometime, which said, Jesus is coming back. Look busy. Sorry, that's really irreverent. But he sets out these three stories, and obviously we're looking at the one of the sheep and the goats. But the first one is the 10 bridesmaids. And in some translations it says virgins. And I like the idea of bridesmaids because our daughter's getting married this summer. I thought 8 was a lot. She's having 8 bridesmaids. But in this story, there's 10. And that is the people who are waiting for Jesus to come back. And they want to be ready when the bridegroom arrives. And then follows the story of the three servants. And then the sheep and the goats. They all of them call us to live ready, know God, be born again, and watch for his promised liberation when he comes for his bride, who are all of us. The one of the three servants is definitely about don't waste your life. Don't let it just tumble past and get on. Don't waste your gifts or your talents or your passions. That silver that God has given you in this passage is unique. It's you. Nobody else can do that. And some of us are given real silver as well. God calls us through all of his teaching, and especially through these last three passages, to invest in the kingdom of God with our lives, with our what he's given us. Invest in God's projects. Invest in God's workers, God's missionaries, God's businesses, God's schools, God's eco-initiatives to show that our love for God through how we care for his creation and stewardship. God might even be calling you to help set up a social enterprise or help fund one or loan for things such like that overseas where there's a lot less startup help. Shower the people that you love with love. Out of our, at yours and mine, forgiven and thankful hearts, flows compassion and justice. A care for the least and the lost. So we have the story of the 10 bridesmaids, the story of the 3 servants, and then honestly, this passage is just a smack in the forehead, isn't it? It is not a comforting, oh, let's have a lovely, pleasant reading. It challenges us and shakes us till our boots rattle. And just shouts out from Jesus' own mouth, faith without works is dead. Show me your faith by the way you live and love and care. Not because we can outgive God or earn his grace, but because God has more than outgiven us. David, my husband's wife, mum, has advanced dementia. She's always been a caring and thoughtful and kind woman to her four children, to their spouses, and to the grandchildren. Most of the grandchildren, great-grandchildren, she just can't figure out at all. And over the years, we've shared with her about Christ, we've prayed with her, we've given her books, we've taken her to events, and we've told her how much we care for her every time we see her. She's really confused. She's actually practiced the habit of worrying for 81 years, so she's pretty good at it. We've often said that she could worry for Britain. Actually, I think she could do it for the UK. She didn't know who I was this week when I went to see her. She doesn't remember that her husband of 60 years is dead, or that she just ate a very nice roast dinner. I don't know how God sees her. But have you noticed in this passage that the sheep do not push around the other sheep and the goats? The loving, merciful, just, and righteous King, Shepherd God, does the separating. It's not my job. It's not our job. He knows them all, their ways, their nature, and their hearts. He knows and sees, and he loves with justice and mercy. So just as an aside, don't waste your time pushing goats. Be a sheep, a good, obedient, compassionate, caring sheep in the Father's flock. How do we do that? We look at Jesus. We keep looking at Jesus. Keep reading the Gospels over and over. His healings, his setting people free, his forgiveness, his grace, his hope, his generosity, his mercy. These should be normal signs in our lives. They're not just add-ons for sort of super Christians. It's the normal way to live, seeking to be more like Jesus. It's interesting, too, because it's not like Jesus just came at them like, ta-da, this is it, and they all went, what? It was actually announced by John the Baptist, even before Jesus came. And I can't help but thinking this should be said with some kind of other accent than I've got. I'm sorry, but in Luke 3, John is doing his baptism thing. It says, when the crowds came to join to John for baptism, he said, you brood of snakes, who warned you to flee God's coming wrath? Prove by the way that you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, we are safe, we are descendants of Abraham. That means nothing, for I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked, what should we do? John replied, if you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry. Even corrupt tax collectors came to be baptized and asked, teacher, what should we do? He replied, collect no more taxes than the government requires. What should we do? Asked some soldiers. John replied, don't extort money or make false accusations. Be content with your pay. John was probably not that really nice person you invited to your dinner parties who would make everybody feel relaxed and comfortable. But that message from Jesus about our whole life living it completely differently in the kingdom was there before Jesus came. He calls us to eat together, to pray often, to celebrate with one another, to build together lives of compassion. It's not just up to you. We often say, though, don't we, the problem is too big. I can't possibly make a difference, and I can't even figure out what I'm supposed to do. I'm sure that all good charities are probably really scams. They're probably ripping people off. Lenny Henry probably went home with money after Red Nose Day. I hope that you will have the grace to step away from that kind of thinking. Step away and don't give up, because Jesus didn't give up. He waited and he listened and he knew what God called him to do. So God gave him the grace to do what he'd been called to. And he gives grace to each of us as we seek what it is we are to be doing. And yes, we live in a not yet kind of time in the kingdom. The kingdom won't be seen in all its fullness until the end. But that could be a really long time. What did Jesus get on with? Be like him. And empowered by the Holy Spirit, we're called to do what he calls us to do. This week, it might be that you need to sit with somebody who's bereaved or troubled and just listen. Could be that when you're in town, he wants you to sit with a homeless person and just listen. If it's a big issue seller, buy a couple of copies. You may be more restricted in what you can do, but you can write a letter to a lonely person without preaching. Next Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, we'll be doing a fair trade stall. Buy fair trade gifts for people for Easter. Have compassion on a young person and maybe take them out for ice creams when they finish their exams. Might need to ask their parents if they're under 16. Rewrite your will to give money to a good charity or church or Lee Abbey or missions work. Invest in ethical companies, even if they don't give quite the return. Guess what? We can't take it with us. Get a subscription to Ethical Consumer Magazine and let your heart care about how what you spend does. Are the products we usually buy produced by slaves? Are they damaging to God's world? Are they exploiting people and planet? Share your copies with other people as well. And think about how you spend what you have. Ride a bike to church more often. You don't want me to do that, honestly. I would run you down. Or volunteer at Trinity or the Night Shelter. Now, I know there's a lot of people here who are already doing these sorts of things, but if this isn't something you've thought of doing before, find out about prison ministry. It's that clear in the scriptures, isn't it? I was in prison, and you didn't come to see me. Or after Tim's announcement this morning, maybe you could just help out once a month with the Sunday school. Lighten up on stuff. You know, there's a thing called free cycle. Make sure you put in Winchester, UK, otherwise you end up with stuff being offered to you that's in Winchester in America. Not very helpful. Get rid of your unneeded stuff to people who might need it. Or write your MP. You know, one of the things about Brexit is that they're going to be renegotiating all of the trade deals with really poor countries that can have completely amazing or absolutely devastating effect. Find out about that. Pray and pray again and pray till you cry. Seek God's heart for everyone. And then throw yourself on God's mercy and ask him to empower you to show more mercy. I read a great quote this week that said, "To give away money is to win a victory over the dark powers that oppress." We could be liberated. So today is a bit about mothers, but really, let's take it as all grown-ups. We want to leave a legacy. When my dad died last year, it makes you think about, has anybody else ever thought about this? What you once said in your obituary? We want to leave a legacy with those around us, the children who we impacted, the neighbors. In light of this incredible passage that Jesus said to us, let's not be afraid. Let's love more. Let's share more. Let's show compassion and mercy, justice, and unrivaled love. Let us live our lives as a fragrant offering that outlasts the loveliest flowers or the scented hand cream we might be given for Mothering Sunday. May we be people whose hearts beat as God's heart does and show it with our lives every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you came and that your cross is mighty and powerful to break the stranglehold of sin. But you didn't leave us there, Lord. You didn't even leave us with the risen Christ or the Holy Spirit. You left us with a commission to show that we are different because we love you. Your calling was to anoint, to bring good news to the poor. You came to set the captives free and heal the blind, that the oppressed would not be the way we just put up with life. We wouldn't accept that that's okay. We'd say, no, we're Jesus's. We want to be like him and we're going to be different. In your strength, Lord Jesus, so that we don't burn out. In your strength, so that we can be honoring to you. Let us work together, for you're coming again. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you.